An hour later, Argro returned to the law library and found the three judges already in position behind a table with papers and law books scattered about as if the Supreme Court of Florida were in session. Spicer introduced him to Mr. Beach and Mr. Yarber, and he took a seat across the table. No one else was present. They talked for a moment about his appeal. His file was en route from the other prison, and they couldn't do much without it. The appeal was a preliminary topic of conversation, and both sides of the table knew it.
"Mr. Spicer tells us you're an expert on moving dirty money," Beach said.
"I was until I got caught," Argro said modestly.
"I take it you have some?"
"We have a little account offshore. Money we've earned doing legal work and a few other things we can't be too open about. As you know, we can't charge for legal work. But we do anyway," added Yarber. "And we get paid for it."
"How much is in the account?" Argro asked, knowing yesterday's closing balance to the exact penny.
"Let's wait on that," Spicer said. "There's a good chance the money may have disappeared."
Argro let the words hang for a second and managed to appear confused.
"I'm sorry," he said. "We had a lawyer," Beach said slowly, each word measured. "He disappeared, and he may have taken the money."
"I see. And this account is in a bank in the Bahamas?"
"It was. We're not sure if it still is."
"But we'd like to know for sure," Beach added.
"You want me to verify the balance of a secret account?" Argro asked.
"Yes, that's it," said Yarber.
"You're lucky you picked the Bahamas," Argro said. "The banks are pretty loose there. Most of the serious money launderers stay away from the Bahamas. Panama is the current hot spot. And of course, Grand Cayman is still rock solid."
Argro watched them with their puzzled faces and thought how truly clueless they were. For three men with the ability to totally wreck the American electoral process, they seemed awfully naive.
"So can you do it?"
"I can try. No guarantees."
"Here's the deal," Spicer said. "You verify the account, and we'll do your appeals for free."
"That's not a bad deal," Argro said.
"We didn't think so."
"Agreed?"
"Agreed.
But I'll need to know something about the account, such as the name or a number."
"The account name is Boomer Realty Limited. The account number is 144-DXN-9593.
Argro scribbled some notes on a sheet of scrap paper.
"Just curious," Spicer said as they watched him closely. "How do you plan to communicate with your contacts outside?"
"Phone," Argro said without looking up.
"These phones are not secure," Yarber said.
Argro smiled and acknowledged their concerns. Then he glanced over his shoulder and removed from his pants pocket an instrument of some sort, not much larger than a pocket knife. He held it between his thumb and index finger and said,
"This is a phone, gentlemen."
They stared in disbelief, then watched as he quickly unfolded it from the top and the bottom and from one side, so that when properly opened, it still looked much too small for any meaningful conversation.
"It's digital," he said. "Very secure." "Who gets the monthly bill?" asked Beach.
"I have a brother in Boca Raton. The phone and the service were gifts from him."
He snapped it back smartly, and it vanished before their eyes. Then he pointed to the small conference room behind them, to their chamber.
"What's in there?" he asked.
"Just a conference room," Spicer said.
"All right. What if I go in there, get on the phone, and go to work? You three stay here and watch out for me. If anyone enters the library, come knock on the door."
The brethren readily agreed, though they did not believe Argro could pull it off.